You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. That was Fila Brasilia with Monk's Utterance. Before that, The Beauty Room by Holding On from the Secret Love 3 compilation Jazzanova and Resoul put together. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is AIM. We're going to start by playing a track from his CD, Place Your Hands Over Your Eyes. So stay tuned. We're going to set up in the background while this track is playing, and then we'll get into the interview and a live electronic performance right here by AIM in the Kill Radio studio. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Aim. Aim, how are you?
All right. Good to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
Sorry about the traffic. You're coming all the way from Long Beach, right?
Well, actually, a little bit south of downtown right now. But I'm from Long Beach. Yes, but it's all good. It's worth it.
So why don't you just briefly describe for us what you brought into the studio today to play? Because I've had electronic acts on this show, and usually we just do a track listen because mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to... And we'll talk about this more later in the interview, right. But it's yes. kind of hard to sell yourself as a live act when
True.
You're doing electronic music.
Exactly.
So what did you bring in today? What are you going to do?
Well,
here?
I brought in my laptop so I can play with the software I got here. And so I have beats in the laptop, and then my main riffs are through a keyboard. It's a MicroKorg keyboard. And so that's where I'd be playing mostly. And then I have a chaos pad, a Korg chaos pad, where that's where I add effects over the beats and over the song overall.
Can you describe the chaos pad in a little more detail? Like,
well,
what's it look like?
The chaos pad, it's it basically looks, it has a pad basically in the middle, and it's a touch sensitive pad. And around the pad, there is a metal box. And it's probably 6x6, maybe. And it's got all kinds of buttons for effects and to program beats as well. But I'm using it mostly for effects. And so some of the effects you can play around with the beats per minute, and you can program it as well. So that's basically what I use the chaos pad. Although it has other things. You can hook it up to a mic and add effects, voice effects. You can mm-hmm. modulate your voice if you sing through it, or a keyboard you can modulate or add reverb and add all kinds of stuff to just a regular keyboard or piano.
How new is all this equipment? Are you using some vintage knobs and buttons as
you
well?
You know, I wish. This is fairly new technology, probably in the last 5-6 years. Although, you know, technology in 5-6 years becomes quite obsolete. So
right, it'll be vintage by next year.
Right, exactly. So most of this stuff I've had it for about that long. About 6 years, and the laptop in just a couple of years. So that's pretty new.
Well, are you ready to go into a live song?
Yes, I am. This first song, it's called As I Watch You Sleep, and it's from the album Place Your Hands Over Your Eyes.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Aim. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is AIM.
Hello, John.
That was awesome, man.
Thank you.
Aliases are probably about as common in electronic music as they are in hip-hop.
Right.
Who is Fran and who is AIM? Is AIM an individual or is AIM a project?
AIM is a project. Basically, I wanted to be something very flexible and almost without identity in terms of identifying AIM with a particular person. I wanted to lend for future collaborations with anybody who comes around. And so it's not particularly, right now it's a one person thing, but eventually I wanted it to be more than just one person and have people come and go. You know, whoever gets inspired by the music and wants to collaborate, basically that's what AIM is intended for.
It's interesting because electronic music is almost intrinsically kind of a lonely project.
True, it's true.
You spend a lot of time, you know, in your head and trying to get the sounds in your head into a digital form.
Exactly, yeah. But I think for me, because I've been exposed to so much music growing up, and electronica is just a means to make music, and it's not necessarily just the music that I want to make, basically. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I figure, you know, I want to make this entity AIM and just have people come and go. And of course, it's always going to be me, but have other elements come into it and then create something that's unique. And it has electronica leanings because I do love electronica. But again, that's just a means to incorporate other elements of music and in the future.
What do you think are some of the influences in your youth that, you know, musically that put you in the direction of doing electronic music first?
Well, in the early 90s, I discovered Brian Eno. And I mean, I had heard of him through, you know, early music when he was producing U2, Talking Heads. But I probably, because I was so young, I didn't realize how much farther he went with David Bowie and Roxy Music. Mm-hmm. And his own things that he was doing back in the 70s. And I remember the first album I bought from him was NerveNet, and collaboration with Robert Fripp of King Crimson.
Yeah, that's
and,
a great album.
Yeah, that's an awesome album. But to me, it sounded very strange. It was just strange sounding to me. And
was that Fractal Zoom?
Fractal Zoom,
that
right.
Song. And yeah. Moby did like 13 remixes.
He did,
of
yes,
that.
Yeah. And each one, you know, I listened to them because it was just, I think his music, with the remixes as well, it opened a lot of possibilities in terms of, well, look, you can make more things. It's just a starting board. One mm-hmm. song can be a starting board to many things. And just like you say, you know, Moby did 13 mixes. I mean, from one song. I mean, how many interpretations can you make, right? But that was one big album, and then that really opened the floodgates for me in terms of the possibilities with music and exploring music, because that was not NerveNet was not really a commercial album by any sort of interpretation. But then after that, I started hearing all these artists that were influenced by Brian Eno, like The Orb, Aphex Twin. And then I got into those artists, and then that's kind of how I discovered labels too, through Aphex Twin, the Warp label. Mm-hmm. And so all the Warp artists from that label, I started Plaid and Autrech, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I always
think
have
it's
a hard
Autrech,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And then came later on other artists from the Instinct Records label. I don't know if you know, out of New York. And Taylor Dupree, they was doing, I think I want to say it was, I can't remember. He has so many aliases. But then Biosphere as well, Gary Jensen from Norway as well.
Were you listening to electronic music at the time all these things were coming out, and your friends were as well, or were you?
Unfortunately,
sort of like,
most of my friends, because it was the early 90s, everybody was into Nirvana, Pearl Jam,
right?
You know, all that stuff, and it's good stuff, but I find myself wanting to explore outside of what was what everybody was listening to. So it was the kind of stuff I'd be listening to in my room while I was just hanging out and doing writing or doing, you know, just watching, reading a book or watching TV, you know, I put something in the background. So, you know, it's stuff that definitely was not today. It's like nowadays it's considered normal to, well, more prominent than it was in the early 90s. A lot of this stuff, a lot of these artists were considered, outside of the UK anyways, were considered still pretty obscure. But
Were you specific about, I mean, you talked about the artists that you're into, but was there a specific quality to the kind of electronic music that you liked? Like I noticed, like in rock music, you have, you know, all these great independent artists, and then you have, you know, these also talented but extremely successful label artists that are, you know, doing a certain kind of music that's made for radio airplay.
True.
And then in the electronic world, you have music that's, you know, clearly being made. You hear it, and you can only picture a dance floor. You can't picture the clouds bursting open or an ocean or something like
right.
that. You know,
uh-huh.
So because I remember in my own youth listening to electronic music. There mm-hmm. was a lot of electronic music that, to me, almost gave electronic music a bad name. You told someone you were into electronic music, they'd be like, "Oh, I don't like that dance stuff." You know,
right.
But then there was all these amazing artists, like you mentioned, like Orb and Aphex Twin, Orbital,
right?
Yeah,
right.
They were making, you know, it was just music. It just happened to be electronic music.
Exactly.
But it was undeniably musical.
Yes, and that's where it goes back to electronica, using electronica as a means to make music and not as a way to make electronica music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on account of like the Orb, if you listen to albums like Orbus Terrarum, that's really, I mean, there's a lot of elements going in there. And Aphex Twin, I mean, everything is using his own synthesizers. But there's other elements of like classical music as well. If you, the album I Care Because You Do, there's some classical elements to that. And there's a little bit of hip-hop influence in that, in the beats as well. And so, and even artists nowadays like Boards of Canada, you see them using guitars, you know, and so it almost is like electronica. It's become more and more of a concept, but it's true. I mean, there's a lot like Orbital. They were more dance oriented. Underworld, they were more dance oriented. Fatboy Slim, Chemical Brothers. Although I liked their music, I was more of the, Let's make something that's more like a soundtrack and for your head, and you can still dance to it. And mm-hmm. There's more to it. There's more to it as you listen to it over and over.
So were you thinking about that when you decided that you were going to start making electronic music, and it was important for you to sort of capture that?
Yes, yeah, and you know, it's funny because and you know this because you make music yourself. But sometimes when you're making music and you're doing playback after playback, revising the song, it kind of becomes a tedious process. And I think for me, it's almost like, in a way, to avoid my ADD tendencies, is to add more to it, layer to it. And I take from Phil Spector, the wall of sound, that concept of creating a wall of sound with the music so that you pick up different things different times when you listen to it. And so that's a big thing for me, that wall of sound concept. And and also Brian Eno with his Blick Strategies, the strategy to make music. Basically, you know, he put together a bunch of cards, and you know, you pull them out, and it gives you kind of a reference point to, or an exercise to use to apply to the process of making music. So a lot of things, a lot of his suggestions on doing things that are outside the norm when creating music, I think that for me was the way in which, okay, this let's not make it conventional. Let's make it as, at least the process itself, let's make it as unconventional as possible. With in mind that, you know, it shouldn't be self-indulgent either, because there's a lot of ambient music too and electronica that is very self-indulgent.
Yeah.
And so the good stuff manages to make that balance between being very
personal and
adventurous.
Accessible at
the
same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Why don't we listen to another track from your album, and then we'll talk about putting this album together and where people can get it. What do you recommend we play?
Let's play track number, I want to say, can I see it real quick?
Yeah.
2, 4, 6, 7. Let's play track number 7.
All right. Listen, it is good on killradio.org.
And that is Dimension 1, Dimension 2, Dimension 3. That's the name of the song.
This is from the album Place Your Hands Over Your Eyes by AIM.
Thank you.
we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with AIM. So where can people get this album, Place Your Hands Over Your Eyes?
Well, right now it's just about every electronic outlet, iTunes, Rhapsody, MusicNet, and the Sony Connect store, online stores. And with iTunes, you can actually get it all over the world, basically Canada, the US, the UK, Japan, I want to say Australia as well, and China. So there's, you know, whoever's listening in China, you can buy it through iTunes. And so
I don't think they're allowed to listen to Kill Radio in China. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, there's always those that break the norm and rules. Right. So and you know they're listening to Kill Radio if they're doing
if
that.
If they're breaking the rules at all, they're listening to Kill Radio. How difficult was the journey for you from, you know, making music at home, burning it to a CDR and passing it out to your friends, to actually having an album with cover art that's accessible that people can order and buy?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I've been musical basically all my life. I was in a church choir since I was a kid. And then from like when I was a kid till like I was a teenager. And then I took piano lessons as well. And somewhere along the line in my teenage years, girls came along. And so that kind of fell to the wayside, right? And as often is when you find out about girls. But it was probably back in my mid-20s again when I thought, you know, I really should start buying things to, like, make music. So I started getting software and getting hardware to play around with music, not with the intent of ever getting to this point, at least in the beginning.
You didn't know you were going to be a musician. You just knew that music was something you wanted in your life.
Exactly. So I got back in touch with that, and I started composing and experimenting because I didn't have a clear sense of what I wanted to do. The earlier stuff was more like Brian Eno's slow stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was more of that vein where I was making things. I wasn't in a rush to put beats to it or, like, add too many effects. So it was just, like, simple piano lines and one overdub over another one with piano lines. And as I started playing back some of this stuff, I'm like, well, this is good, you know, and I can take this forward. And as I was working on that process, other people got to hear it, and they were impressed by the results. And they never really said anything because I never showed really any interest to make it past the point of just making music for myself. Mm-hmm. So I think somewhere along the line, I said, well, it's becoming a very DIY society. So let me try it. Let me see what I can come up with. And there were about three albums worth of songs before I finally put that one together. And there was a lot of experimentation, you know. And
is this your first official debut release?
Exactly. Yeah, this is the first official. And I thought, you know, like we're going back to that balance of making the music accessible but also adventurous. It was a process of creating the music to get to that point, and it was hard because once I finished the album, I was like, well, where do I go from here? Who do I talk to, and how do I get it out? And that's when I discovered MySpace about 2 years ago, and through some friends, and I saw a lot of artists doing that, and I thought, what a great way to do this. So I opened a MySpace account, and basically the rest is history. I started networking with a lot of folks that are in the music industry and that were listening to the music, and or I would email them, mm-hmm. ask them if they'd be interested to check out the music, and they did, and I started getting a really good response from them. And and then, you know, there's a lot of information out there, like Kill Radio, the Hear Hear show. You know, I found that about that. And that's
actually where I first heard your music, was you submitted to our Monday submission show.
Exactly, yeah. And it was through MySpace. So a lot of these things, I've been doing it through MySpace. I know a lot of people hate MySpace, but to me it's been good, at least on a professional level.
Yeah.
And
well, it's a love-hate, you know.
Exactly, yes.
You love what it does for you, but sometimes it doesn't work, and then you get angry at it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, so you have to be patient for it. But a lot of the stuff, you know, information, how to get the album released, and information on I've have about three companies right now that are film placement companies and stuff like that. I've found all that stuff through MySpace. It's amazing what you can find through MySpace. And even when it's not on MySpace, you click another link that takes you out of MySpace, and then you click another one, it takes you to another place,
right.
And then you find the information. And so it's been a process of just going out there, emailing people, talking to people, and getting, spreading the word out there. And even like the LA Music Awards that just went on last year.
I was
going to
ask you about that. This album won Best Electronic Album 2006 for
exactly.
The LA Music Awards.
Yes, yes.
And is it just sent them a CD or
basically,
a couple of tracks?
I got in touch with them and they told me what to send them. And I sent them the CD and they listened to it. They put in nominations and I beat out the competition. So it's it was just basically finding them on MySpace, giving them a call, and they were really, really nice folks. And that's how it was a lot less effort than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But I was quite surprised. And you know, awards don't really mean much in the sense of the process of making music. It doesn't make you better, but it's a nice recognition. You can use it to.
It's so much easier to promote.
Exactly.
As an award winning electronic artist as
true.
Opposed to a guy who makes electronic music.
True. So yeah, definitely. So
you ready to go into another live song?
Yes. Next song I will play is called "The City's Dead, But You're Still Alive," and that's off "Place Your Hands Over Your Eyes."
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. This is AIM. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Aim. So I'm fortunate enough to be here in the studio with you. I see you bouncing back and forth, playing the keyboard and dealing with the effects and moving around. But from the listener's perspective, it's kind of hard to tell the difference between a live performance and a track from the CD.
Right.
How could people tell when you screw up?
How can people? Well,
yeah, what would be an example of something that you would only happen while you're performing live? And
well, if people bother to, and they should, if they go back and listen to the MP3 of this show, and they play the song of the songs from they compare the song from the CD and the show to this show, they'll be able to hear the difference, because I screw up about like 5 times in this song. I framed it. That's the reference, by the way, to anyone who's listening there. I framed it.
what are some of the things that, like, okay, so you start with the song, and then basically to make it live you take away certain elements
exactly
and then recreate them live.
right so and then sometimes I don't play the exact same on the same key, or I will add more riffs to it, and it depends. Sometimes it'll be a keyboard line, another times will be a bass line, and or it will be a piano line. So it depends on what instrument I find myself comfortable within the sequence of the live set, and because I'm playing more than just one instrument. So most times it's either a riff, one of the main riffs of the song, or like a bass line, and so basically that's what I change. And sometimes I'll even take like a beat out from the song, and just to make it more mellow, and mm-hmm. so it'll sound more ambient as well. So that's kind of, I think if people go back and listen, compare the versions, go back and download the show, today's show, and they compare the versions with the album, they'll be able to tell the difference. There's definitely some differences there.
Do you enjoy doing the live element, or is it sort of a nerve-wracking experience? You feel like maybe you've completed the music, just listen to it. Why make me go out there on a stage and recreate it for you?
You know, it's funny because I used to be involved in the poetry scene for the longest time, and so you had to go up to a mic and read poetry, and I think that is one of the hardest things you can ever do, go up there and read your own poetry. So I'm used to being in front of a mic, and I'm used to being in front of a crowd. It's a little different, because there's just more elements of it, I think I feel a little more confident. I do enjoy going out there and playing, and on account that you get to meet a lot of cool people, including yourself. So, so it's fun to go out there and perform. It's not fun lugging around all the equipment, but
right.
But aside from that, it's cool.
But I guess it must give you sort of an advantage over a lot of other electronic artists who really, like, I can't imagine how I would do, my music live. I can't get an image in my head of what that would be like. Uh-huh. I could maybe take out elements and then hire people to recreate those elements live.
True.
For me. But
yeah.
Yeah, so you have the, because it's in terms of promoting your music, if you can actually go to a venue and present it,
you know,
instead of just, urging people, oh, please buy the CD, you can actually show them what you're doing.
Yes, yeah. And you're right. I mean, it's tough sometimes with electronic music, because I would need, in order to fully play live, I would need probably 2 more keyboard players to, mm-hmm. Play all the other stuff. But this way, I try to make it in a way in which I am playing live. I am, out there and playing the keyboards, there's a chance that I screw up, and most times it's not so much screwing up, but most times it doesn't come, the main riff doesn't come out the same as it is on the album, but I like that, because that keeps me interested. It's not like playing the same key over and over again when I go out, so I think that's what makes it exciting for me, just to be able to play on the go and just kind of improvise, basically, sometimes.
Here's a weird question for you. Do you also DJ?
I used to DJ before I was promoting the music. Right now, I don't DJ as much or at all, because I've been busy promoting the music and recording, but it's something that, I love doing.
Because it does seem like there's a bit of a blurred line, both from the artist's perspective and also from the booker's perspective, of mm-hmm. what is an electronic artist and what is a DJ.
Right.
And sometimes there are expectations that one is the other in all times.
That's true. And I think it's on account that, the DJ will play the music, but he'll add some stuff to it. if he has the right equipment, he'll add effects and stuff like that, like Sasha or John Digweed. They always have stuff that they add on to the record they're playing, and sometimes they're considered musicians as well on that account. But
Though 99% of what they're doing is other people's music,
exactly. And with electronica, I think my stuff usually I add so many effects and I do a lot of cut and paste, and there's just so much that goes into it. What I do take of samples. The original sample sounds nothing like the end result. So, in a way, performance-wise, I do feel like I am playing live, I just make it easy for myself sometimes to be able to play live because there's just so many elements to it.
If you had to do all of them at the same time, you'd need an extra set of arms.
Right, exactly. And, two more keyboards and everything else, yeah.
So your MySpace is myspace.com/aimspace.
Aimspace, AIMESPACE, and it's the same URL as the website, which is aimspace, www.aimspace.com.
Let's listen to another track from this CD.
Okay.
What do you recommend?
Why don't we play track number one. Let's play track number one, and that's... When you place your hands over your eyes.
Actually, this is the title track of the album.
Exactly.
It was funny because I had your album, you submitted it to Hear Here, and right. then I listened to the one or two tracks that we played on the show, and then I took the CD home to upload it to my iPod.
That's cool.
And I forgot about it, right? Mm-hmm. So then I'm in my car, and I have like 10,000 songs on my iPod, and it's on shuffle. Mm-hmm. So then this song comes up, the one we're about to play. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. It's kind of cool. And I didn't know what it was. And I was driving. I didn't have time to look and everything. And the song just got better and better and better. I'm like, finally I made it to a stoplight. I'm like, oh, this is AIM. I should invite him on the show.
Thanks, John.
So here you go. This is AIM on Is Good on killradio.org. Title track from Place Your Hands Over Your Eyes. We'll be right back. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. Before we run out of time, I want to make sure we get enough live songs out of you. So why don't we actually jump right into one
okay.
now. And
then we'll do you want me to go straight on to another one after that? Or you want
no,
me
we'll talk a little bit after okay. after that.
Okay. All right. So this one is called Running Up the Lighthouse. And
actually, before we go into that, let me ask you about the titles of your songs.
Oh, okay.
They're all...
They caught your attention.
Yeah. I mean, they're all statements, phrases. They all trigger imagery.
True.
How do you decide? Do you decide?
Well, each title.
When do you decide on each title?
Well, each title, as I'm working on it, I try to think of it as a story, as a soundtrack to a story. And actually, once the website is fully complete, you will see each song has actual lyrics to it. And each lyric refers to the title. And as I was writing the music, I thought about conceptually what inspired, and then so I started writing, you know, because I was telling you I come from a writing background as well. So I would write bits and pieces here and there, and then based on that, I would take a title from that piece and place it on the song.
But are you writing the stories and then the music? Are you writing the music and then you go, you know, this makes me think of a story?
Exactly, yes, the latter.
So the music comes first.
The music comes first, and then whatever inspires, like story-wise or theme-wise, that's what I do. And, you know, they're all, basically, each song has lyrics. And originally, I intended to put more lyrics into the songs, but it proved to be very... the songs started sounding very cluttered. Mm. So some of them have... bits and pieces of voice here and there, and they relate to the lyrics. And but basically, and I said, like I said, once the website is up, you will be able to see the lyrics, and you'll be like, "Huh, well, that makes a lot of sense." And it'd be like, you know, it'll be a really cool thing. But I have to get around to doing that. But basically, each song title refers to a theme, which refers to the lyrics that eventually will be up on the internet.
What's the song "This Is a Good Tuna Sandwich" about? No, I'm kidding. What are you going to play first next?
Running Up the Lighthouse. This is a song from Place Your Hands Over Your Eyes.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is AIM live on Kill Radio. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Aim is my guest. Fran, how do you know when you've made it? I mean, the thing with electronic music, it's not like rock music where you become this rock star and,
sure.
you know, people have the picture of you on, you know, they, when they're a kid, they put a big poster of you at the wall, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, for an electronic artist, the things you can maybe hope for are like a really cool, memorable video or something like that.
Sure.
But really, the best electronic music just sort of stays alive in the hearts of the fans and the listeners.
Exactly, yes, yeah. The fans are really the ones that carry the music.
Yeah. yeah. Where do you see yourself kind of landing when you go, okay, this is sort of, I've accomplished my goals as an artist?
Well, I really, with AIM, I really envision being the soundtrack to medium. And be either TV, film, documentaries, video games, commercials, and most importantly, people's iPods. And so, you know, if that's really to me the indication that that I've accomplished my goal, which is to be the medium, the soundtrack to different mediums, and be able to influence people's lives in the way that it brings them. Inspiration. It inspires them to do something creative in turn, in their own way, and be it, you know, make music or paint or just be inspired to do something that they have not done in their lives. And so that's basically to me, and that would be a very hard thing to track. But to me, that's basically my goal with me. When I make music, I make it so that when people listen to it, they're in turn inspired and to do something that they wouldn't have done without the music.
What about in terms of musical directions that you want to avoid going in, even though they might be popular this particular time or that particular time? Mm-hmm. What are some things that you sort of look out for as an artist? I don't want my music to ever sort of take on that character. I want to keep it this way. Or if it's going to evolve, I don't want it to evolve in that direction. Are there any things out there, trends or anything like that?
You know, it's funny. I think that there is good music in every genre, but there's most of the time it's bad, you know. And
yeah.
I mean, well,
no, most music is bad. Most art is bad. I mean, that's how you know when there's great art, is it
right,
stands out from the big
yes.
sea.
I mean,
things.
It is subjective.
Yeah.
Art is subjective, but
yeah.
In my opinion, there's art that stands out in every genre. So if I were to take in a direction, I think it would be towards that art that does stand out. I would really. I don't know necessarily what I would veer from per se, but I would definitely like to experiment with more with classical instruments and as well as with guitars and even more beats. You know, I definitely, there's some hip hop out there that catches my attention, and there's possibilities with the electronica to play around with beats and hip hop beats and that kind of thing. I think the type of music that I want to avoid is the one that basically does not accomplish my goal of influencing other people and making people inspired by it, I think.
Well, before we run out of time, why don't we do one more live song, and then we'll end the show with a track from your CD.
I'm going to play a track from that I'm working on. It's a new track. It's not on the album, but it's definitely something that it's a little bit of taste of what I'm working on next. So cool. This is completely unreleased, and it's not on the album, but it should make it to the next one, which should come out sometime next year. I'm not going to say when. I hate giving myself deadlines.
Does this one have a name yet, or are you still working on
it? Well, this one, it has a tentative title called Trees Waver Back and Forth Around You.
Sounds like a plan. When we get back, we'll talk about where people can go see you perform next. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is AIM Live. You've been listening to AIM on Is Good on KillRadio.org. It should be noted that in that live song, you do quite a bit of keyboard playing.
Right,
on that
yes.
One. That's,
yes.
That requires a lot more dexterity and
true, yeah, the last two
stamina.
Songs. Yeah, so the last two songs, they require a little bit more playing. And yeah, there's some of them, like I said, some of them, they require more playing than others. And I think it's just based on the sequence of the playlist, depending on the... If I usually try to do like one that requires more stuff and then like take it easy on the next one, that way, you know,
right, so you don't get burnt out too
exactly,
quick.
Exactly.
When you play live, like, are there, what kind of venues do you usually play in? And
well, I like art galleries a lot. They're always fun to play at just because you're surrounded with so much art and people go there with an open mind and going, okay, I'm coming, if I'm coming here, usually people are, if they're going to go to an art gallery, they're going to be open-minded because they know they're going to see things that are not exactly part of everyday life, and
right.
They're seeing expression basically. So
and they can look at the imagery and then also hear the music and listen to the music.
Exactly. And I play different venues, coffee shops. Like tonight, I'll be playing in Long Beach at this coffee shop called Viento Yawa, and that's always fun. It's a very relaxed environment. Every once in a while, I'll do clubs. But again, it goes back to people thinking you're a DJ and not a musician. So
they expect you to be playing, you know, strictly dance music,
exactly.
Trance or whatever.
Yeah. So it's a little less encouraging to want to play places like that. But I do like playing every once in a while. But most of the time, I'm doing either art galleries or coffee houses, that sort of thing.
Now, when you're not, I guess, it probably doesn't, I don't know if it applies to art galleries and coffee houses, not, probably not, but like, do you go through the same sort of thing that a lot of indie rock bands go through where the bookers want to know what your draw is and, you know, they'll book you based on attendance expectations?
Oh, yes, totally.
So have you built a, you know, a following of AIM heads, as it were?
AIM heads, I like that. More or less, you know, there's people that that will come to some shows and others ones that you know, it kind of comes and goes. But, yeah, definitely, you know, people like to know what you've done, what you're planning on doing. And, like, you know, if you can draw people, I think you really can't escape that on account that, you know, if someone's going to open the business for you, they want to make sure that the place is not empty and they can make money too. So, which is normal, you know, I just take it as part of the business. And so there, you know, there's a few people, and you know, it's a process because I do a lot of reaching out to people through MySpace, and it tends to be more of a global thing, so it's tougher to do things where you know, you can get a lot of people, locals, to come to your show. You know, you get a good size every once in a while, which is always nice. And with art galleries, there's always people there, and that's more of like, oh, look at this guy, I like his music, and so they
right,
keep track of you.
Right, they just stand there and cross their arms. So okay, now entertain me.
Exactly. So it's. I think in my case a little, it's different in terms of being able to build the following. You know, eventually, if this grows, and I hope that it does, you know, that's my intent. You know, there's probably gonna be people out there that be like, oh, he's playing in such place, and. And the bigger the venue, the more advertisement there is for that kind of thing. So definitely, you know, it just kind of goes part to part with that. Yeah.
And you're also going to be playing one of the coming up, one of the Hear Hear benefits for
Kill
Radio.
Yeah, May 20th, I think, right? It's a Sunday.
Oh, yeah, so that's the one right after. We have this one on April 15th, and then the next one's May 20th.
Exactly, yeah. So it'll be at Las Solas Cafe.
Yeah, downtown.
Yeah, so I look forward to that, you know. So there's another coffee.
Yeah,
it's
that'll
a coffee
be a nice,
shop, right?
Yeah, it'll be a nice audience for you. Yeah, we are a bunch of artistically minded people.
Yes,
so
well,
we look forward to seeing you there. And,
same
dude,
here.
Thanks so much for coming in and being a part.
Me,
the Is Good Network.
I love your show.
Thank you so much. And take care and good luck with your
same
show
here.
Tonight as
thank
well.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Hey, why don't we give them one last track off the CD to say goodbye with.
Track number two.
All right. Everybody go out and buy the CD by AIM called Place Your Hands Over Your Eyes. Here's another track from that called The World Expands and Collapses When We Breathe. Sometimes you can't read some of the letters because they're obscured by the cool trees. Stick around.